Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, of course, curing cancer is like the holy grail of medical research. It's something we strive for without perhaps the expectation of success within our lifetime. And that's largely because cancer is not just one thing, but a category of many different conditions that all present their own challenges. But that doesn't mean we aren't making progress in a number of fields. And it happens that some of this progress is happening here in Ireland. Paul Kelly is a medical director of the UPMC Cancer Network. He joins me now. Welcome to the programme, Paul.
Thanks very much.
Tell me about INSPIRE.
So INSPIRE is a clinical trial that's going to run across the country, both north and south. And this has several novel aspects to it. It's focusing on localized prostate cancer. And this is a radiotherapy clinical trial. And what it's doing is essentially utilizing the best that we have in terms of radiation technology and applying that to localize prostate cancer with a view to particularly focused on reducing treatment-related side effects. So as many of your listeners will know, the prostate is located very close to the bladder and the rectum, the lower end of the bowel. And this poses a problem when it comes to both surgery or radiation, in that those organs are in the firing line in terms of the potential to be harmed when we're attempting to cure prostate cancer. So in my own area of radiation, this INSPIRE trial is aiming particularly at reducing treatment-related side effects. And it is using several strategies to try and achieve that. So as some of your listeners may know, the water pipe that men pass their urine through actually travels right down the center of the prostate. So immediately we have a problem. We need to treat the prostate, but unfortunately that's traveling through the gland itself and unfortunately receives the entire dose of radiation that we deliver and can cause some urinary side effects. But now radiation technology has evolved that we can actually tell the computer that we want to minimize or reduce the dose in the area of that water pipe while simultaneously increasing the dose of radiation to the target that we can see on an MRI scan.
Is that done with just tinier instruments, a sharper radiation? Is it a beam or how do you radiate something?
Yeah, so radiation is essentially the use of high energy X-rays, and these are beams of radiation. But nowadays we can actually modulate the radiation beam to place dose extremely accurately on a target. And even within millimeters of a tumor target, we can also simultaneously tell the beam and the computer that designs the treatment to minimize the dose in this area. Hmm. And the major advantage of that is really the ability to reduce treatment-related side effects.
Yeah. Currently, That is not the technique. What is different about this trial?
Yeah, so what's different about this trial is that whether we're using surgery or radiation, essentially for prostate cancer, these are whole gland treatments. So we either surgically remove the entire prostate or we irradiate it pretty homogeneously. But what's different about this is that we're able to incorporate the knowledge of where the tumor is, where are what we call our organs at risk, these tissues that are potentially in the firing line, and essentially decide we're going to minimize in one location, escalate in another. And it's really just smart radiation therapy. And the advantage of that for patients really is reducing treatment-related side effects.
Yeah.
And our focus in this is really focusing on urinary symptoms. Although also the rectum or the lower end of the bowel is quite close by. And this trial is also incorporating the ability to place a temporary gel between the prostate and the rectum, essentially to create a kind of buffer zone between the two, which can take the rectal dose out of the equation and reduce any risk of bowel side effects.
Yeah, this is the business end of things, right? But what does our prostate do? What purpose does it have?
Yeah, so really the prostate is a gland, and actually physiologically it just produces the liquid actually that's in the semen, and really biologically it doesn't have any other function. But for men, it's one of the commonest cancers that develop in men and with increasing incidence as they get older.
Why? And surgery is difficult there, is it? Because I'm thinking of Angelina Jolie, who, you know, voluntarily had her breasts removed because she was at high risk of cancer. I'm wondering, you know, could it be, you know, after we've had our kids, that this is, you know, people who are high risk could voluntarily have their prostate removed. But I guess surgery is also problematic for these side effects, is it?
It is. And I suppose surgery, the main risks with surgery and surgical advances, particularly with robotic techniques these days, have also reduced the impact of that operation on patients. But I suppose surgery, compared to radiation, runs a slightly higher risk of patients developing some urinary incontinence,
right,
by interfering with the kind of muscle mechanism that controls our ability to keep our bladders closed and open them when we want to pass urine. But also the nerves that control erections are also very intimately related to the prostate, and they can get damaged either with the surgical approach or with the radiation approach.
So we talk a little bit about the design of clinical trials in this program, weirdly, and I'm fascinated by my methodology. If you have this really fantastic approach and you want to have it well designed, I mean, you obviously can't do a placebo to people who are suffering from prostate cancer, but how do you compare the operations before to historical operations? Is that how you get your data?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And really, there are different what are called phases of clinical trials. So INSPIRE, the trial that we've just opened and is opening around the country, is what's called a phase two trial design. So essentially, there is no comparative group in that trial. Every patient who decides or puts their trust in us to enter into this trial will receive the experimental treatment. But there are also comparative trials where, as you say, we have a control arm. But often one of the issues with that is that those trials have to be very large to answer questions. Mm. And also patients need to be followed in those trials for many, many years. And they're extremely expensive to run. But, you know, as a technologist yourself, Jonathan, AI and modern technology is coming to our aid. And trial design is also something that's going to change rapidly over the next few years to help us answer these questions. And I suppose trials have always been done kind of in academic centers. They've required lots of visits for patients. And really, you know, a kind of more decentralized oncology trial is going to become more in vogue.
More common,
that will reduce the burden on patients, really, in terms of their ability to do things remotely, whether that's visits, home blood collections, wearable monitoring, telemedicine follow-up. You know, these things are definitely, you know, going to help.
Yeah.
But in terms of the control arm, there's even this idea now of an AI-generated, what's called a digital twin. So within a trial before, you know, one person was put into the experimental arm, one person was put into the standard treatment, and they were followed for many, many years to decide ultimately whether there was a difference at the end of the day. Mm. But yeah, we can now actually even potentially generate an AI digital twin for the person so that we don't potentially have to randomize someone to a control arm. So a bit like everything else in technology, you know, this is really going to advance how we do clinical trials. Mm. And there's very much a trend of incorporating, you know, emerging technology into clinical trials.
So most trials are funded by somebody, right? All trials are funded by somebody. If this is a concentration, are you using a new technology, or a pharmaceutical or a med tech company that is co-funding this, or is this just a better practice approach?
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I suppose most people, when they think of cancer clinical trials, they may be thinking about drug trials. Mm. And often those trials, like you say, are backed or funded, or at least part funded by the pharmaceutical industry. But in my own specialty of radiotherapy, there is no pharma company. And actually, it can be quite difficult to attract funding to run clinical trials.
Right.
And in Ireland, we're lucky that we have a network of clinical trials for oncology called Cancer Trials Ireland, who are helping to design and deliver this trial for us. And in this particular trial, there is some philanthropic funding, but also the trial is being backed by one of the gel spacer companies that reduce the rectal side effects.
Great. Okay, so this is an Irish trial. We do the work. We realize that actually this guided radiotherapy, image-guided radiotherapy, so we're using imagery, all sorts of scans to really guide this to be super precise, this this radiation beam, to reduce side effects. It's a massive success, right? Let's just imagine it's really successful and the side effects are much, much reduced. We then do what with that information? Does everyone who has prostate cancer after that now get this treatment?
Yeah, so essentially the trials are how we move the dial to the next standard of care. And that is a really important message, because without clinical trials, really things, you know, stand still. Mm. And it's only by patients agreeing to go into clinical trials and also, you know, health systems actually running clinical trials that we can answer these questions. And that's how the whole process moves along and that treatments improve. And actually this trial is also not unique, but it has patient involvement right from the get-go in this study. Patients in Ireland have been involved in helping us design this clinical trial. And this is really important because I suppose historically, more paternalistically, often doctors were deciding, okay, we'll run this trial because I think this is a good question. But increasingly now, patients are involved in the research and actually helping to design and deliver the clinical trial themselves. And you can see this trial is all about focus on quality of life, because thankfully more and more men with localized prostate cancer survive and are cured of their cancer, but they may well be living with the side effect of that treatment. So minimizing those things for the long term can have a really big impact on their life and how they live in that survivorship period after their cancer treatment.
Yeah, you talked about that shift. It's really important because, you know, people wonder why would a patient necessarily be involved, because the doctors would have the technical ability. But a lot of the time, you know, researchers would tend to focus on numbers, you know, that a particular number would reach a particular figure or target, and that was the aim. But actually what the patient may have experienced to reach that number, or whether or not it actually benefited the patient at all in terms of day-to-day how they experienced their life, that could be massively different. And so that's the importance, I suppose, of PPI. It's really important that we host these clinical trials, because it's actually getting access to the cutting-edge medicines for a lot of patients that can be absolutely transformative. Obviously, you know, you're looking for a specific cohort in a trial like this. There are certain things that would exclude or include patients. But if someone is listening and has been diagnosed with prostate cancer and knows someone who does, is there a way of letting their GP know that they would like to take part in this trial, or at least explore that option?
Yeah, I think that's a very important message. Cancer Trials Ireland ran a PR program called Just Ask, and essentially really trying to empower patients to not be passive in the process, to seek out clinical trials. There is the Cancer Trials Ireland website where all the open trials are, you know, available for review. But I would just encourage patients and their family members to ask their oncologist, their surgeon, is there something available to me?
Okay.
And also not to be afraid about that, because clinical trials offer open doors to things that you will not access as part of standard of care.
That's right.
And
yeah.
Patients often are really well looked after in terms of having, you know, nominated trial workers that they can contact at any time. They feel really well looked after.
Okay.
And actually this week was International Clinical Trials Day, and we invited all the patients back to our department who had participated in a clinical trial. And the real message that they kind of wanted to send was, actually the clinical trial experience itself was a really positive one.
So yeah, it is true that there is a lot of patient learns about themselves. They get access to tests and treatments and all sorts of things just as part before you even get to the trial. So it is a really beneficial experience. Have to leave it there. Dr. Paul Kelly is Medical Director of UPMC Cancer Network in Ireland. As I say, Cancer Trials Ireland is the place to look for more information on any trials.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae,
proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.